Open your Bibles today, if you have them, the book of John. We're not going to do a lot of reading scripture today, but we're going to focus on two verses which came alive to me during the course of these last few days. They're in the book of John, chapter 19, and we'll get to them in a few minutes. I want to just pause for a moment and honor the great women in my own life. Lynn is not in the room just yet. She's one of those five. She's out there leading the team that are going into the various rooms. 250 mums today whose children are in hospital, unable to celebrate with their broader family. Our team in Darwin took 40 gift packs into the ICU in Darwin Hospital last weekend. Our brand new fledgling church up there doing what they can, and some of the heartbreaking situations they were dealing with. You know, in these moments that are so dark, it is a wonderful thing to be part of a church that comes and brings a glimmer of light, a glimmer of hope. So I honor Lynn. I honor my mother-in-law, who's here. She's 99 and a half years old. Jean. She's incredible. Watches church usually on her iPad. She jumps in online, dials into hopecenter.com. But it's so cool to have you here. My daughters-in-law are amazing, Brioni and Josie. I love them dearly. My own mum went to heaven in 2018. And I can tell you, I get what Paul was saying when he wrote to Timothy. He says, I celebrate the faith that's in you, that was firstly in your grandma and now in your mum and also in you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm the product of a praying mum. And let me tell you, most of you are as well. And we need to honor them today in Jesus' name. You know, school teacher. Lynn's a school teacher. And I get a lot of stories. You think, by the way, mums and dads, you think your family secrets are safe? Let me just say two words to you. Family talks. Morning talks. Let me tell you. I've heard some great things about some of your families. Anyway, still love you. Year two teacher is teaching her class on the power of magnets, teaching them in their little science class what a magnet does. And so the week following, she thought, you know what? I'm going to see how well my teaching's going, see how much the children are getting out of this subject. So she says, get out of your books, boys and girls, get out a pencil. I've got a question for you. We're going to play a little game of who am I? She says, I am strong. I go around picking up things. My name has six letters and the first one is M. Can I tell you something? Two-thirds of the class wrote, Mother. We thank God for you. And today I want to speak into that. But, you know, childbirth is only one of the things that makes somebody a mother. There are other qualities that I want to explore today as we open the scriptures. I want to salute all the women in this church. I want to salute the women watching online, those that will watch it a little later. You're incredible. I'm going to be blunt. You put us to shame in a lot of spaces in life. I was reading some surveys recently for another assignment, and I discovered that most reports suggest that over the last 120 years, women have outnumbered men on the mission field by 2-1. And many of those women are single. Thank God for you. Volunteering. Surveys suggest that women are nearly 50% more likely to volunteer than men. It's your heart. In Scripture, there are some incredible women of faith that have left a legacy and example for all of us to follow. When we get into the New Testament, there are some incredible women of God, those that followed Jesus. In fact, when you come to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, we discover that they were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. In that graphic, important, and yet gut-wrenching moment in Jesus' life, they were there. And it's in that time frame that I want to come today. I want to draw our attention from John chapter 19 because it gives a lot of attention to that moment and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the mock trial, the brutal treatment, and finally, the crucifixion of our Savior. So in that moment, we read this as it happened. John 19, verse 26 and 27. Jesus hanging on a cross. And when he saw his, who? Mother there. The disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it becomes apparent that after the trial and after the incredible beatings and all the mockery and everything that Jesus experienced, there at the cross, the people that were there were women plus one man by the name of John. Jesus had 12 disciples, but there was one there, plus a group of women. And Jesus is there in absolute agony, and he addresses two people. We know he had a conversation with the thieves on either side of him, but now he looks down, and he sees these women, and he identifies one out of that group, his own mother. And then he sees the only male that's recorded as being there at the foot of the cross. Someone who I think identifies himself in the Bible as Jesus' best friend. His name is John. So can you imagine this scene with me for a minute? These three characters. Mary. Mary, this is his mom. This is his mother. She gave birth to him. She breastfed him. She toilet trained him. She nurtured him. She dealt with the scratches and cuts that little people get. And she nurtured him the only way a mother can. But now, she's there at the foot of a cross. Now, our tradition and our doctrines don't necessarily see Mary the same way as our Catholic friends. But I can tell you something. She needs to be honored. Her example is an incredible inspiration to us all for many, many things, including her faithfulness. Her life radically changed. The angel of the Lord appears to her. Remember, you know, we get these glowing sentimental pictures of Christmas and, you know, the incarnation and all that went with Mary carrying Jesus. She was a young teenage Jewish girl in a culture that was very harsh on women and particularly harsh on pregnant, unmarried women. And an angel turns up to her and in a moment changes her life forever and says, "I've got good news, young teenage unmarried girl. Really good news, wait for it. You're pregnant and you're carrying God's own son." Her life changed forever. We don't hear much about what she did. We just know through just normal maternal responsibilities what she would have had to do. We do know that there was a time when he was 12, she lost him, which gives a lot of us great encouragement. She did find him. He was doing what he was supposed to do at 12, debating with the Bible scholars in the temple. Wind the clock forward, he's 30 years of age. She's there at a wedding in a city called Cana of Galilee. The wine runs out. They said, "What are we going to do?" And I love Mary's response to the followers of Jesus. "Whatever he asks of you, do it. Do it." And she watched his ministry unfold. The profound teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, healing, helping, loving, so much in three world-changing, history-changing years. 30, 31, 32, Now he's 33 and he's being crucified. If you ever question the messiahship of Jesus, if you ever questioned the immaculate birth, ask yourself this question. If this was a radical hoax, why would Jesus' mother stay silent when they crucified him? I've never met a mother that is comfortable with watching their children suffer. Every good mum that I've ever met would rather experience pain than have their children go through the pain that they're experiencing. But now Jesus is there hanging on a cross because of his claims to be the Son of God. If Mary knew the truth, and that could have got her son out of all of this pain, she could have spoken up. Stop! He's not the Messiah. He's just a naughty boy. But she remained silent. And her silence speaks volumes. Her silence says she knew that Jesus wasn't just her son. He was the Son of God, born to be the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for humanity and the sin they'd committed. And she remains silent. And then there was John. John is the son of a fisherman called Zebedee. Best name in the Bible, Zebedee. He had a brother called James. And together, James and John were given a nickname by Jesus. They were called the Sons of Thunder. They were fiery. They were aggressive. They were impulsive. And the only two of the disciples in Scripture that are recorded as being given a nickname by Jesus, James and John, you're the Sons of Thunder. If they were Aussies, it'd be Jono and Jimmy. Jesus says, you're the Sons of Thunder, and yet, you know something? By the end of his life, he's known as the writer of so many passages of Scripture about love and kindness. Something happened in John's heart that turned him from the Son of Thunder to the Apostle of Love. I wonder if this moment was strategic in that. John is also recorded in Scripture, particularly in the book of John, which he wrote as being, in quotes, the disciple that Jesus loved. He wrote that four times, in case you missed it. I'm Jesus' favorite. There's strong evidence that suggests that John was probably the youngest of the 12 disciples. Church history suggests that he's definitely the one that lived the longest, by far the oldest surviving of all of the 12. Most of the others were martyred for their faith. And there he stood beside Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of the other women that followed him. And from a cross, the third party, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looks down, and as often happens in the narrative of the Bible, Jesus, the Bible, so many times it says, Jesus saw, then Jesus spoke. Often intermingled in that thought is, and Jesus, when he saw them, was moved with compassion. You think about that moment. He's in a world of pain, but he looks down, and amongst the crowd, obviously there were the soldiers and there were the mockers and there were those that actually were enjoying seeing Jesus suffer because they were thinking they were getting rid of this pest that was messing with all of their traditions. And he looks down and he speaks. And I believe what he says in that moment is profound, but it's all the more powerful on a day like today. He looks down to his mum. And he says, dear woman, from here on in, he's your son. Can I ask a question? Where are the rest of Jesus' siblings? Make him your son. And he looks and he gains eye contact with John and he says, John, look after my mum. Look after my mum. There's so much happening in that one instance. Of course, Jesus is in agony. If you know anything of crucifixion, it's an absolutely brutal way to die. Ultimately, it's not just blood loss, it's suffocation for which ultimately takes their life. And he was in agony, pulling against the nails and his lungs heaving and his rib cage collapsing. And yet in that moment, he looks beyond his own pain. Isn't this just typical of Jesus? He looks beyond his pain. And his attention goes to others. He sees his mother at the foot of the cross. She's heartbroken. She's weeping. I would assume, you imagine any mum in this room, you imagine for a moment what it would have been like to stand in Mary's shoes that day. Weeping, probably inconsolable. And his heart goes out to her. And rather than be consumed by an understandable concern for his own welfare, he is touched by her needs. He's moved with compassion. He knew she was suffering. He knew she was in grief. And he had very little to give her. What could he give that even taken his clothes? He had nothing to give except the power of love. And love expresses itself in all kinds of ways. Some of you have read the book on the five love languages. In that moment, Jesus expressed love with the only thing that he could give, an invitation to be there. The power of presence, spelt P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Sometimes a P-R-E-S-E-N-T is a little too easy. Sometimes it's not just the quick giving of a material gift that people need. Jesus knew what Mary was going to go through. See, being a woman in Bible days was tough. Being a widow in Bible times was particularly challenging. It would appear that Joseph had died, her husband had died a number of years earlier. And now Mary, she'd actually had those years where Jesus would have been a caring son and he'd been with her on so much of his ministry travel, but now he was going. And Jesus' concern goes out to her and he says, you know what, the one thing that I can give that you will still have after I'm gone, apart from my Holy Spirit, is love with skin on. John, look after my mum. It's powerful. He wanted to make sure that she wasn't left alone. I was listening to an interview on the radio just this week from one of Australia's greatest sociologists, a guy by the name of Hugh Mackay. He's just written another book and they were interviewing him regarding, you know, where society's at in Australia now. He said, let me tell you, the number one ill in Australian society is loneliness. We have a divided, solitary, lonely population. It was real then. It's all the more real now. Loneliness. For me, it's a great reminder, you know, I can't even begin to count the number of funerals that I've done as a pastor over more than 40 years of pastoral leadership and life. And I can tell you that a lot of parents, a lot of husbands, a lot of wives can tell you in that first week leading up to the funeral and those few days after, there's people everywhere. But it's the weeks later. It's the years later. It's days like today. Then that people like you and I need to, again, learn the example of Jesus there on a cross. Could you just extend the boundaries of your family a little broader and let somebody that's lonely in? Presence. Look after my mom. By connecting John to Mary, he was ensuring that she would be cared for the rest of her life. And church history suggests that John took care of her until the day she died. John, look after my mum. This selfless act of Jesus in that moment reminds us how that Jesus redefines so many things. In that moment, you know what he was doing? He was redefining the kingdom understanding of family. I was reading just this morning Psalm 68. And this is what it says of our God. It says, he takes the lonely. Some versions say the solitary, the person on their own. He takes the solitary, the lonely, and he puts them into families. Our God, who is our Father, that's what he does. It is my absolute conviction that the church is meant to be a number of things, way more than a social club, way more than just some religious institution. The church of Jesus Christ is meant to be that place where people can find family. And families within families. That's why we're strong on people joining in small groups and in places where they find connection. Because you know what? It's a lonely world out there. You know, we used to hear a line that says, no man's an island. Let me tell you, every one of us are an island. And so that's why it's important that there's some bridge builders in the Church of Jesus Christ. We build bridges to one another. We open our hearts and we open our arms and say, come and be part of this family. Because it's in this place we find acceptance, we find support, we find the care that we need for in the seasons of life. Would somebody say amen? But Jesus wasn't just providing for Mary in that moment. You know what he was doing? He was providing for John. Remember, in John's mind at least, he was Jesus' best friend. We've all lost people close to us, and it's painful. And in that moment when he said, hey, John, take care of my mother. From this day on, see her as your own mum. He was doing something that would help him through his own season of grief and give him comfort to navigate that moment. But he was also doing something else. He says, John, by you making Mary, in quotes, your mother, you're going to receive the nurture and comfort that you need. You're going to, it's just somebody to walk through this season with you. But you know what else he was giving him? He was giving him purpose. Giving him responsibility. Adding greater dimensions of meaning to his life. John, I'm actually giving you an opportunity so your life is just a little bit bigger than it was yesterday. Because you've let somebody else in. So on this Mother's Day, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I just want to pause for a moment and draw out a couple of important lessons that we find in those two short verses. The first thing is the importance of immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. There are some of us in this room that would consider ourselves as people who've followed Jesus for a long time. I have a question for you. How quick are you to say yes when he speaks to you? When he asks of you something, whether it's in the Bible as you're reading it and a verse leaps out and you know God's speaking to you. Or that prompting when you see somebody and your eyes lock on and God says, be kind to them, be generous to them, invite them to your home, look after them. How quick are we to respond? Pray for them. Serve in this way. Or are we really good at doing what a lot of mature Christians especially do? This is the way we say it. Would you help? Would you care? Would you serve? Would you? Here, you ready for it? Sounds really spiritual. Let me pray about it. That is code for if I leave it long enough, hopefully it just won't bother me anymore. How about we just learn to say yes? We talk a lot about being people who live lives with their head on swivel, looking for others. We often say the key to a miracle is simply asking somebody, how can I help you? Let's be those kind of people. Immediate obedience. Verse 27, I'll repeat for you this morning, the second half of it. is when Jesus said, Mary, make John your son, and John, make Mary your mum. You know what it says? That request of Jesus, the Bible says, uses these words, from that time on. In other words, immediately, this disciple, John speaking of himself, took her into his home. You know what? Obedience, and especially immediate obedience, brings blessing, brings opportunity, brings favor. There are a number of things that God speaks to us and we wrestle with it, we put it off, and we try to find a verse somewhere that will excuse us. We'll try to find somebody who will say something, read something online, pray about it long enough so that we don't have to say yes. But John, in that request of Jesus, he immediately responds, and something shifted in his heart. As I said, he was young and fiery, and he wanted to scorch everybody, and now he's opening his heart and his arms. He writes for us his gospel, the Gospel of John. But he also has four other books in the Bible accredited to him. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Wow. I wonder if in his journey with Jesus, that was such a catalytic moment, he discovered, if I want to be the greatest in the kingdom, I need to learn to serve. Serve others. Immediate obedience. But he also shows us the importance of the maternal factor in community. The maternal factor. You know, some women become a mum through birth. Others become a mum through choice. Childbirth is something that I'm constantly thanking God for my gender for. Thank you. Wow. And that is how a woman becomes a mother naturally. But there are a number of women in this community of faith, in this broader community of our city, that are mums to so many. You've opened your heart and let the hurting John in. You've fostered children when the system doesn't know what to do. It's just bulging with a need, and you've said, I'll let them into my home. Put your hand up for adoption. Served in children's ministry. Gone into schools and loved kids. Volunteered in this place and that. In other words, what you've done is you've said, you know what? I'm just going to open my heart a little bigger. Because in this hurting world that is filled with dysfunction in household after household, I'll somehow show people the love of God. I'll show them what it looks like to be loved. And to each of you this morning that live life above that zone of selfishness, we honor you. We thank God for you. Yes, the natural mums, it's a special day, but for others, it can be a little challenging. Some who've experienced loss, some who are childless, and some of you in the room, on behalf of those who've been flippant at times, without meaning, even thinking they sound funny, but they've been hurtful, we apologize. I know today's a challenging day. I know some of us have been through the pain of family that's broken and the trauma of your childhood. I get that today is quite challenging. That's why I'm so grateful for the one who Jesus, after he died and rose again, he says, you know what, I'm not going to be here forever, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give the whole planet someone who's just like me, my spirit. And let me tell you what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do amongst all the other things. is one that I want to highlight today. He says he binds up broken hearts. So today I'm talking about hearts that can be healed and hearts that can be expanded for others. So I've got some questions for you today. Are there things that God has asked you to do that you've not yet obeyed him in? Let me get back to you, God. That verse. I'm going to pray about that. Maybe he's just looking for a yes, Lord. I wonder if as we've been in this service today or in this moment or in this day, I wonder if God is challenging all of us to be better, in quotes, sons and in quotes, daughters. Draw our family circle just a little bigger so that we can let others in. I wonder if that's what he's saying to us. I wonder if he's just speaking to the church, all of us, about what it might look like if we truly embraced the dynamics of being a family that honors the Father. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. He takes the lonely and he puts them into families. I know we've got some people that are serving, but other than those that are, I wonder if we just take a moment and block out the distraction of the environment. Just bow our heads for a moment. The Bible says of our God that he loved the human race so much that he gave us his Son. We spoke in some detail about the fact that God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on a cross. Why would he die? He died for the sins of the human race. Let me put it bluntly, he died so that we could live in friendship with God, forgiven of S-I-N, sin. It's not a cool word anymore, but it's the reality. It's the things we've done that have broken not only God's code of living, it's broken God's heart. But God sent his Son to stand in our place for all the punishment that deserved, so that you and I could be in friendship with him forever. And I wonder on this moment, some of us have been in church life for a while, some of us have been watching online, others came, maybe because a friend was having a child dedicated, but something's been speaking to your heart today, and you just say, God, I just want to respond. I want to show immediate obedience to what you're speaking to my heart today. And if that's you, all I want to do is say, hey, God loves you. He loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Broken, distant from God, filled with shame and regret. He wants to forgive you, accept you, and heal your life from the inside out. And he invites you to become into relationship with him. So if I'm talking to you right now, just say, Wayne, I don't know everything's going on right now, but I just want to respond right now. I just want to say, God, let me into, I'm letting you in. And so come into my life. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you right where you stand. Say, that's what's happening in my heart right now. God bless you as you respond. Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Wayne. Include me in that prayer. If you're online, respond. The team will respond to you as well. If you've raised your hand or you wish you had, place it on your heart. I pray for you. I pray that you would know what it means to be a child of God, forgiven, accepted, and loved in this moment. I pray that as you begin to walk a new life with God in it, that you would understand what it means to have a life that's filled with his love and his joy and his peace in a very real and meaningful way from this day forward. We believe for that in the name of Jesus. While our heads are still bowed, I wonder if some of us just, God's been speaking to us today. Maybe this has been a little difficult and you just say, God, would you just help my heart? Would you bring peace back in? Would you bring healing back in? Others, God's just been speaking to us about just being people that care a little more, looking for the Marys, looking for the Johns that just need love. Say, God, you're speaking to my heart today. Just place your hand upon your heart again. Yeah, just that's it. Many of us doing that. Lord, in this moment, I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you come to those of us that today have been deeply challenged. It's highlighted pain. I pray, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding to minister to our hearts today. Let your grace flow. Pray for all of us, Lord, as a church community. There's a growing dynamic of true kingdom family. Lord, we stand here today, some of us, and just go, God, you are speaking to us about these areas of immediate obedience. We want to be ready, ready to respond, ready to show your love to others in a hurting, lonely, broken world. We're ready to be used by you. So take us, we pray. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, we ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,